This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around New York City, and we get to listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Joe P. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Alisa Ali at WFUV. Alisa, this is just like a fan favorite, an FUV favorite, a friend of the station, New Jersey's own Joe P.
Yeah, it's so much fun to reconnect with Joe, and he's done a bunch of shows for us in the past and has come in for FUV Live Sessions, which you just check all of them out because they're extremely fun. He's just a really charismatic and witty and fun and just really clever songwriter. And we really appreciate his music. I loved his first record, Emily Can't Sing. And then he did a great one called French Blonde. Those were both EPs, though. And he's finally out with his debut LP, Garden State Vampire. And you can probably guess why he named it that. He's from the Garden State, of course. And like many musicians, he keeps vampire hours.
And in this session, we're going to hear live music that was recorded at an exclusive show for FUV listeners. What is the first song that we're going to hear in this session?
We are going to turn, I know it's radio, but we're going to turn on the color TV for this one. It's Joe P on WFUV.
Pick out your face. Which one should it be? What will they say? I say what I mean to the back of my teeth. When I sleep through the week, but I'm upstairs in your room. You're downstairs dancing, I'll just wait here for you. I'll just keep camping in your bed. Well, it's here, but some clothes and pretend we're upstairs in your room. All the doubts is dancing, yeah, on the black and white scene, on a color TV, in a film you won't see. You get what you get. And you don't get upset, and so I try to forget. And I'm upstairs in your room, you're downstairs dancing, I'll just wait here for you. I'll just keep camping in your bed. Build a tent, hold some pills and pretend we're upstairs in your room. While they're downstairs dancing, running out of supply, trying my best to survive. And all my friends are slowly dying, one by one. But it sounds like so fun. downstairs dancing, but I'll just wait here for you. I'll just keep camping in your bed, in your bed, and so I'll just forget I'm all alone in your
WFUV. That was Joe P live in concert at Racket NYC. I am Elisa Ali. Thank you so much, Joe P. That was very well played. And hey, drinks on us, because we are celebrating your new LP.
Yes.
And I actually am kind of surprised that this is your first LP, because I feel like I've been listening to your music for a while.
Probably. Record labels are funny that way. They sign you to, like, you get signed and it's like it'll be a 3 or 4 album deal or whatever, and you're like, okay, cool. And then they're like, but also you could do EPs, and if you do EPs it doesn't count towards your record
right.
deal. So you could technically make 1 million EPs and still not fulfill record one. So I did that, but I did like 2 or 3 or whatever, which was fine because I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to sound like and everything, you know, so it was fine. But yeah, so I think it was that, and then we put a few things from the EP on the album and
right.
stuff, you know.
So the new album, Garden State Vampire, yeah. What a great name.
Thanks.
And it comes from a line in one of your songs.
Yes, it comes from Guilt Hole.
Which is a great song.
Thank you. Yeah, that was like a weird, I really, you know, with labels, you get a deadline to finish an album. And I play music because I'm bad at deadlines. You know what I mean? So the idea of that really didn't make sense to me. So I just like put it off for so long. I would make songs and stuff, but I wasn't like finishing the vocals. I wasn't writing the full songs. I was just getting excited to start another idea. And then they were like, all right, you got like 6 weeks or whatever it was. And I was like, I should probably wrap these up. So I did all the vocals in like 5 weeks or 3 weeks or something like that. So it was just all the lyrics, all the vocals jammed in. And I, in order to get it done, because of like the water heater going on and all that basement kind of stuff, I would do it in the middle of the night so that like the house wasn't alive. So it's just dead silent and people aren't outside driving around because you can hear the cars sometimes depending on the microphone. So I did everything from like 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. was kind of when it was recorded. So I flipped my schedule around, which is weird to do. I was already halfway there, to be fair, but like I really went for it. And being in a basement gave me my whole vampire idea where I was like, I always complain I don't see the sun. So I was like, I'm not sleeping at the right time and I don't get any sun. I guess I'm a vampire. And it just came out. I didn't think of it until after I said the lyric of what I was saying when I wrote it, but it was one of those things where I was like, oh, that makes sense. I like that.
And then you wrote that song around it?
No, I was writing the song, and when I write songs, I'll just like, you know, ad lib lyrics like into the mic as I'm writing. And that one came out and I was just like, oh, that sounds good. I like that. That's like a cool idea. I didn't realize it was because of that. But literally into the first chorus of that song, I yawn because it was probably like 5 in the morning.
That's so apropos.
So I perfectly got lucky and timed this yawn into the thing. So it just felt right with the vampire thing. Yeah.
I like that. So you're talking about your basement.
Mm-hmm.
You're still recording in the basement.
I'm doubling down, actually.
What do you mean you're doubling down?
I used to go to the city to go to Atlantic. So I would come to the city.
Atlantic Records.
And I would record and it was free and it was great. They're charging now.
Oh, Atlantic is charging.
Yeah, they got a whole new CEO and CFO or whatever. Okay. And they walked around the building. They walked in the studio and we're like, what is this? And they're like, oh, this is our studio. And they were like, yeah, what does it cost our artists to record here? They're like, it's free. You know, the people that are already working there. And the guy was like, no, it should be like $100 an hour. So he's...
Interesting.
Yeah. But I was just like, man... Okay, so even that's gone. Like I'm not, and I was like, cool. So I spent, when we got home from tour, I spent like the last month or two just really going in on the basement and making it like, I can make an album here. I don't know why I think I always knew I could. It was just more like, you should go to a studio or it doesn't feel right. And there's something about doing things artistically in the same place you make sandwiches. That's like, you know, like in your house. when you wake up and you just go down the stairs and now you're supposed to make this life-changing art or something, it's very overwhelming and you're kind of like, I can't do this. I'm not gonna be able to write a good song. This is insane. So that's why I'm really trying to make the basement feel like this isn't my basement. And then the water heater kicks on them. So I'm doubling down. I think I'm just gonna be a basement guy.
I heard a story about your basement flooding.
Yeah.
And then you having to go get new rugs.
Yes.
Because the rugs really tie
the
room together.
That's the main thing that got ruined was all the rugs. Yeah.
Ties the room together.
Yes.
You got to get a good
always,
rug.
Always, always.
So I've heard conflicting stories about about Violet.
Okay.
The song Violet, which, by the way, I love, and so does WFUV.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if you know thank this, you. Yeah. But our listeners voted it in the top really? Songs
oh,
of 2024.
Yes, good.
Yes, it's such a great song.
Awesome.
So I was told, no, I wasn't told anything, just right. The internet told me,
sure,
I should
sure,
say.
Sure. Yes.
I heard that it was inspired by a Facebook marketplace rug,
right.
But then I also heard it was inspired by the birth of a baby girl.
Yeah.
So please set the record straight.
Well, the baby thing is true.
Okay.
The rug thing is also true, but her name wasn't Violet.
Okay.
So, but I just like had fun. I was making this video one day and I was like, I'm just going to make, I had to promote the song. And I was like, I'll just say it was her name. And I wrote a song around, I promised the guy. That was all true.
Wait, you gotta
but the
tell
rug
the story about the rug, though.
So I went to get a rug because all my rugs got soaked. They're expensive. So you look on Facebook. And I found one. It was like nothing. I was like, this is great. And you get there and you hope the rug just floats out into your car and you leave. You don't have to talk to anyone. But it's not that. You go back to 1982.
Yeah, it's like, come help me, help me get this in the back of my van.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, no. The guy was like, didn't even expect me. And I was like, I just talked to you. And it's like, you walk in and it was an older guy. It was. And he was like, come on in. I was like, duh, I already didn't want to do this. I go in, the rug's just out. It's not wrapped up. I'm like, I believed you. You didn't have to like keep it out for me. I knew it was a rug from the photo. And he's talking to me and I'm like, okay, yeah. He's like making food in the kitchen. And I'm like, all right, man, I think I'm going to, And he's like, by the way, I wanted to tell you my wife passed away the other week or whatever and on this rug. And I was like, whoa. And at this point, I just want to disappear and die. It's a sad moment.
Right.
But it's also like, get me out of here. I don't know you. I don't
you
know
weren't
this.
You weren't like, I don't want this rug that someone died on.
No,
you were like, give me the rug. It's
like,
a good deal.
No, I was like, whatever. It's going in a basement. And like,
whatever, people die.
And I've had millions of rugs from Facebook that I'm sure worse things have happened on. So I was like, all right, I'll take it. It's fine. And I was just like, I said, sorry, that's so sad, whatever. What was her name? I promised, I told him what I was using the rug for. So basically out of small talk, panic is why I did this and said this to the guy. But her name was not Violet, so I was just
you
like...
You said to the guy, I'm going to write a song
I'll try to work her into
wife.
Like a song and name it out there because it's going into my basement studio. But it didn't. I wasn't able to do it. But it was a cooler story than like, friend's baby's name is Violet, which is cool. That's
I'm sure your friends
very
love
positive.
That.
It's good, but it's like, So I mix it up a little. So.
Dressed up like a dream, but there's a nightmare underneath it all. No, I'm not what I see, but you keep calling when I call. Guess you don't feel the pain. When there's nothing left to hurt, then it's hard to drive away. And the bridge already burned. Cause 'Cause I talk to a side man that no one else can see. He says, you know, we all feel the pain when there's nothing left to hurt. It's hard to drive away when the bridge already burned.
Don't Wanna Love You. It's Joe P on WFUV. I wanted to talk a little bit about the writing for this album. Yeah. I know that you usually are a one-man kind of situation.
Usually,
you write everything yourself. And you play all these different instruments, but you had some co-writes on this album.
I did, some co-writes. I had some friends, a lot of new friends, because it was a lot of like going to LA or at Nashville and meeting people and writing a song in one day, and then I haven't seen them since then. I'm used to being in a band or something where it's like, you know them since you're a little kid or whatever, so you're comfortable. So it was really weird being like, looking at my phone, waking up alone and being like, okay, I have to go to this guy's like house. He's got a studio. Okay. Going to basically my basement, but their version of it. So
it's so weird because you're such a Jersey Devil.
I know.
Then here you are crossing straight lines in LA, no less.
I was in LA for 12 days, longest I've ever been there. And I had enough time to not come back and be like, I hate that place, because I always would, because it was like the East Coast. I was stupid. But I had enough time to actually 10, 12 days there that I was like, and I had a car, so I was driving around. And I was like, it's cool. I get it. I understand that there's mountains now. And for the most part, I was like, I get it. I get it's not just the one thing that I think of it as when I didn't know it well. But it was cool. And I met a lot of nice people. And no one's from, they're all from New Jersey.
Right. Same with New York.
Yeah. And Nashville. Everyone's from other places.
Yeah.
So it was really great meeting people and writing. And I didn't think I could do it. I thought I was going to hate it. And I would show up and it would be like the guy who did like Oliver Tree stuff. So I'm like, how is this going to work? And those went better than the ones where it was like, I looked up their credits and it was people I liked and or sounded like me, I should say. Yeah. So when I was in LA, I met all these people who weren't from LA and were great musicians and great producers and had really cool studios. Most of them were not in the basement. None of them were, which made me feel like, what's wrong with me? But they were really cool. And I got a lot of cool, like Violet was done in a couple hours in a room with two other people. One of the other people was from my hometown in New Jersey that I grew up in. Like the
that's
one.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he went to
what the odds
rival
of that?
Like school in town. I was like, that's crazy. Because I didn't know them and there was no history, it felt like freeing to just write and play and not. And now you're influenced by all these new things. And whereas when you know these guys forever, like the, you probably hear them in the background right now, all these guys out here, it's great, but there is like a chemistry already, which is great, but you know what's coming a little bit, you know? So going to someone's house and being kind of like, hi, where's your garbage can? I'm trying. You're in this weird zone and then you grab a guitar and it's like, you've never played guitar before. So a lot of cool things like Violet was done like that. I'm trying to think, what other one? Gabe Simon in Nashville, who did all like the Noah Kahan stuff. He's awesome. He's like a crazy Jack Black type of guy where he's just insane. Because the first time I went there, I sit down and he goes, I never met him. And it was one of my first co-writes ever. So I was the most nervous at this point. And he goes, so why are you here? And I was like, what? Like, I was like, I'm not supposed to be here in my head. He's like, no, like, he's like wearing like a robe. Maybe not, but in my head, it was like a robe, you know, and like shorts. And he was like, dude, like, I heard your stuff. You're good. You don't need like to do this. Like, you're fine. And I was like, well, like the label, like they make you go and they want to send you to write with people, whatever. He's like, all right, cool. Then he picks up a bass guitar, plugs it into like a distortion pedal. And he's like, so what's your story? And I'm like, well, and he starts just playing. And I'm like screaming over this bass guitar. And I'm like, and he's like, yeah, man, that's cool, cool, cool. And I was like, you want me to just play drums right now? And he's like, yeah, hop on the drums. And it was just like, it felt like we were five in fifth grade or something, where it was like jamming at your friend's parents' house. And that's been my favorite kind of connection in that sense, because it was just so like, you act like a little kid the way you make music. So like, she got me, we made In the Time You Hear the Song is like us jamming, that kind of moment. And that's why it's 2 minutes long or whatever, less than 2 minutes. So there's fun ways where it's like people with these really nice studios that are really kind of clean cut in that way. And then you have like a Gabe Simon where it was like, I'm watching him do things and it's like, a lot of things he did, like, technically were wrong. Like, he was plugging things into things, and I'm like, that's going to not work, you know. But it didn't matter, because he's, like, free to be that way. And I thought he did all the Noah Kahan stuff, which he did. So I'm imagining he's going to be this cool, chill acoustic guy. And he's insane. He's just, like, loud and nuts and playing distortion pedals. And so it really worked. Again, all these people that I wouldn't fit in with, I ended up fitting in with better, I think, than the people that were similar to me or my style, because it's more... pulls you out of your shell.
Yeah. And it's exciting because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Kind of like a live show. That's you don't right. know what's going to happen.
Never
Speaking
know.
Of live shows, yeah. You were all over the UK.
That's right. That was really fun. That was
Tell
cool.
me about that.
That was a solo tour. So that was just fully alone. Emily, my now wife.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Still can't sing.
Still definitely can't sing. Actually, in Manchester, though, someone, because it was so intimate, it was just me with an electric guitar. That was the whole, and there was no crew. It was like, if I broke a string, it was like, we have to go home. It all worked, but, you know. So where I'm playing, and someone, I was joking about something. I said, I was about to play Off My Mind, and a guy goes, where's Emily? Can she sing? And I was like, she actually is here. And they're like, put a, make her sing. So she came on stage.
Aww.
And sang the beginning of it.
I love that.
It was awful, but everyone sang with her, so it was awesome. So there's all these British people singing with Emily's terrible, very upstate New York nasally kind of thing she does. And it was great. It was such a cool, but again, it was just us. It was such a really, it was like a tour, but it wasn't. It was like a weird road trip thing. Really cool to do. I want to do that again, because it was just so, as soon as you have like other people, like a crew and stuff, it just changes what it is. It's a little more, all right, we're doing our jobs, you know. But this felt like we were doing a road trip, and a venue was just like, also, can you play real quick? You know, it was, which is cool. It's cool to do it.
That's a nice adventure. Aside from that, you played Asbury Park.
Yes.
See Here Now, young man.
I know. See Here Now. That was sweet.
Really exciting.
Yeah, that was really sweet. It was, that was cool because it was weird. It was like a festival, but I was like, I live here, or I've been here a million times. You know, it was really cool because you're playing on the beach.
Yeah.
So.
Did you play on the same day as Mr. New Jersey?
No. He okay. played the second day. I played the first
the
day.
The boss.
Then when Noah Kahan played.
Okay. Well, that's good. You got to spread it out.
Which is cool. Yeah.
You are also de facto Mr. New Jersey.
What do you mean?
Just because you're the Garden State Vampire.
Oh, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be like, I'm like his like seventh layer Russian nesting doll of him, of New Jersey.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know why I just said that. But yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being in New York with us today. You're here to play a show, and you're going to do one more song for us, right?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. Joe P., congratulations on your new record.
Thank you.
We love you, man.
Thank you. Love
and
you guys.
We will see you again very soon.
Yes, yes.
All Day I Dream About. It's Joe P. on WFUV.
Say, this year I think I'm gonna be
a ghost on Halloween. Cajoso El Casino. Bring all my candy home to you. So you get a candy in your tooth. Then my heart won't be so easy to chew. You and your genius is in love with him in New York. I cross out the Gucci and wrote your name on my t-shirt. Smooth turning 22 in the warm shower. You and your genius is in love with him in New York. Oh, and she said, this year I think I'm gonna be a ghost on Halloween. But also I can see. Bring all my candy home to you. So you get a cavity in your teeth. And my heart won't be so easy to chew. This year I think I'm gonna be a ghost on Halloween. Got a whole show I can bring. Bring all my candy on to you. So you get a cavity in your tooth. Then my heart won't be so easy to see.
That was Joe P performing and in conversation at Racket NYC for WFUV. A big thank you to Joe and his bandmates for playing an exclusive show for us and sitting down to chat beforehand. The music you heard in this episode was recorded by Eric Dano and mixed by our technical director of live music, Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer and editor for this episode was Diana Juarez. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Alisa Ali.